You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the first of three podcasts on endometriosis hosted by Med Learning Group, titled Clinical Pearls, Providing a Timely Diagnosis of Endometriosis and Effective Management of Endometriosis-Associated Pain. This series is geared toward obstetrician gynecologists and other healthcare professionals involved in the care and treatment of patients with endometriosis. My name is Cindy Lampner, and I'll be the host of today's podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about diagnostic strategies for patients with endometriosis. Joining me today is Dr. Hugh Taylor. Dr. Taylor is Anita O'Keefe Young Professor and Chair, Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Reproductive Sciences at Yale School of Medicine, and Chief of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Yale New Haven Hospital. He's also Professor of Molecular, Cellular, and Developmental Biology at Yale University. Dr. Taylor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Cindy. It's a pleasure joining you here today.
Dr. Taylor, let's start with the basics. What are the most common presenting symptoms of endometriosis?
Well, the most common that we frequently talk about is pain. Typically, it starts with dysmenorrhea, painful menses, but can progress from that point on to be pain at other times during the menstrual cycle or pain throughout the pelvis or abdomen. Most commonly, again, it starts as cyclic pelvic pain, but it's a progressive disease. So often the pain will become worse over time. But the classic pain is initially severe dysmenorrhea. Often it's hard to distinguish dysmenorrhea that's severe and representative of endometriosis from milder dysmenorrhea or normal menstrual cramps. But anytime that pain progresses and gets worse over time, one should be thinking about endometriosis. Another classic symptom of endometriosis is infertility. Sometimes people have pain and infertility, or sometimes they may have no pain and endometriosis is only discovered on evaluation for infertility. But it's clearly one of the things we should be looking at if somebody has infertility. And additionally, sometimes there are no symptoms of endometriosis. Someone may have significant endometriosis, but it's not painful and doesn't cause infertility. It may be discovered only incidentally when doing a surgery for another indication or seen on an imaging study, an ultrasound or MRI or CAT scan done for some other indication. But by far and away, pain, and especially that cyclic pelvic pain, is the most common presenting symptom of endometriosis.
What is the estimated time from symptom onset to diagnosis and treatment of endometriosis?
Well, unfortunately, it's far too long. It's an average of 6 to 12 years worldwide from when someone has classic symptoms of endometriosis until we make a definitive diagnosis and begin therapy. I think there are many reasons for this. Sometimes we normalize pain. If you think about it, dysmenorrhea, menstrual cramps really are the only pain that we as human beings would consider normal. Any other pain would warrant prompt evaluation. We can have menstrual cramping that can be normal. How do you know if your pain's worse than someone else's? And far too often that pain is dismissed or it's been told, the patients have been told that the pain is normal. We normalize that pain, and we really need to listen carefully to our patients to make sure we don't do that. Other problem that leads to this delay is that we often confuse endometriosis with other conditions. There are many other organ systems that are affected by endometriosis, and sometimes that acts as a red herring and distracts us from making the proper diagnosis. You know, we find that 2/3 of patients approximately are misdiagnosed initially, and it usually takes 4 to 5 healthcare providers before someone gets the correct diagnosis of endometriosis. We really need to pay a lot of attention to our patients to take them very seriously if they have progressive pain and not be distracted by some of the other symptoms of endometriosis.
Could you elaborate on the misdiagnoses that patients with endometriosis might receive before they're correctly diagnosed?
Yes, endometriosis, we're finding, really affects the whole body. It's a systemic disease. It is not just isolated to those lesions that we see in the pelvis. There are effects of endometriosis on almost every other organ in the body. There's this systemic inflammation with endometriosis that can create symptoms almost anywhere. Some of the very common ones we see is when endometriosis affects the bladder or the bowel. And I can't tell you how many patients I've had that have been diagnosed as having irritable bowel when in reality, it's secondary to their endometriosis. Patients who've had colonoscopies before they come to see me or some other healthcare provider who correctly diagnoses endometriosis. If those symptoms are cyclic and occurring at the time of menses, it's more likely to be secondary to endometriosis rather than a primary bowel disease, and we shouldn't be distracted by that. Same thing, bladder pain can also be incorrectly diagnosed as something other than endometriosis. For example, interstitial cystitis. But when that pain is cyclic and comes on predominantly around the time of menses, I think we should think endometriosis first. Also, endometriosis, we know, affects the brain as well. And depression and anxiety are more common in women with endometriosis. We've shown in carefully controlled animal studies that endometriosis actually causes changes in the brain that lead to depression and anxiety. It is not simply that these patients are more anxious and more likely to be complaining about pain, but sometimes they're portrayed that way. I've even had patients who are referred to a psychiatrist before getting the proper diagnosis of endometriosis and appropriate treatment. And we also know that the brain is sensitized to pain. There's a central sensitization that makes someone with endometriosis more susceptible to pain, feels pain more intently. So again, this is not simply that they are complaining about a painful stimuli that wouldn't be bothersome to other people. They are truly more likely to be more sensitive to the same painful stimuli. In addition, we see this whole body inflammation in women with endometriosis. Fatigue is more common. There's so many other side effects of the endometriosis or other systemic symptoms of the endometriosis that we should really take into account. Think endometriosis first if somebody has cyclic symptoms that at least initially occur predominantly around the time of menses. Sometimes they may spread to other points of the menstrual cycle over time. But at least initially, the symptoms are typically most prevalent around the time of menses. Anytime somebody has cyclic pelvic pain, even if they have bladder irritation, what seems like irritable bowel, depression, we should be thinking endometriosis first. Rule out other conditions fairly straightforwardly that might be mimicking endometriosis, but think endometriosis. Get on to treating the disease and not feed into this 10-year delay from symptom onset until definitive diagnosis and treatment.
What are the physical and psychological implications for patients when there's a delay in diagnosis?
Well, it can be quite disturbing. This is a progressive disease. So over time, many women will have pain that gets worse. Not only does the pain get worse, it may spread to times throughout the menstrual cycle other than just the time of menses, and it may spread to other areas throughout the pelvis or beyond. So the pain generally tends to get worse over time. If we if we diagnose it promptly and early, we can hopefully prevent that progression and give more clarity about what the diagnosis truly is. But also get them treatment early so we can stop that progression. You know, when somebody has this debilitating pelvic pain, and it can be truly debilitating so that someone misses school or work, it can really affect their life trajectory. Their life is often held back by the pain. You can imagine a young woman in school who doesn't perform as well academically or maybe hesitant to participate in sports or other extracurricular activities because they never know when they'll be debilitated by pain and have to miss the athletic event or the play or the big recital. It really holds them back. And same thing early career. And you just don't get a do-over on some of these early life events that are important for establishing yourself in your career. It is empowering to have someone know what their diagnosis is, to get definitive treatment, to put them back on that correct trajectory and allow them to lead a life to their full potential. The delay in diagnosis is a huge problem. And something we really need to help correct by recognizing this disease early.
What are the main obstacles that hinder timely diagnosis of endometriosis, both from a patient and physician perspective?
Well, I think one of them is exactly what we just talked about, that there are many symptoms of endometriosis, and it can get confusing to somebody who's not familiar with the disease. Again, we're often distracted by some of the other symptoms of endometriosis that aren't the classic dysmenorrhea. And we need to focus on the endometriosis, even if someone has cyclic bladder bowel symptoms, even if someone has depression or anxiety or pain sensitization. These are all likely related to the endometriosis. I think we also need not be shy about speaking about the disease. Often, we're reticent to talk about diseases that can result in painful menstruation, pain with intercourse, pain with bowel movements. These type of symptoms are often difficult for patients to talk about and sometimes even difficult for physicians. So another obstacle is the requirement for a surgical diagnosis of endometriosis. For far too long, we've considered laparoscopy to be the gold standard for diagnosing endometriosis. In reality, this is a huge barrier. You only get patients that have pain that's severe enough that they want to undergo surgery who we diagnose. We really need to diagnose earlier than that, hopefully treat them and be able to avoid surgery in many of those cases by preventing disease progression. I think you can make a clinical diagnosis of endometriosis and that we no longer need to use surgery for diagnosis of endometriosis. Yes, there'll be some patients that still require surgery who have severe disease that does not respond to medical therapy, maybe has adhesions, scarring, fibrosis associated with late stage disease. However, for most patients, if we make the diagnosis clinically, we can treat them much earlier and hopefully not get to the point where they're going to need surgery for such extensive disease. I think we also have to be more open to conversations about endometriosis. We have to decrease some of the stigma associated with endometriosis. People should be comfortable talking about pelvic pain. We have to make them aware that if they have progressive pelvic pain, that that's not normal, that they should see a healthcare provider familiar with diagnosing endometriosis and think about getting treatment. Thankfully, I think the younger generation is more open to talking about some of these conditions than previous generations, so that will facilitate those conversations. But I think a clinical diagnosis can be made fairly easily with a simple conversation with a patient. We need to just encourage those conversations to happen and not require laparoscopy for diagnosis of endometriosis.
How can clinicians do a better job of diagnosing women with endometriosis and getting them on the road to treatment?
Well, I think several things. One, listen to your patients. If they're complaining about dysmenorrhea or pelvic pain, we have to take that very seriously. If they're complaining about some other conditions such as diarrhea or bloating that are associated with menses, think about endometriosis. If they have bladder pain that's predominantly around the time of menses, think about endometriosis. Depression, anxiety should not distract one from focusing on endometriosis. Listen to your patients. Also, I think we need to recognize how to diagnose this clinically. And endometriosis pain typically starts as dysmenorrhea. Not always, but that's the most common initial presentation. Think about the type of pain someone had shortly after menarche. If that pain is getting worse over time, very likely to be endometriosis. Progressive pain, pain that gets worse over time, progressive dysmenorrhea in particular, is usually endometriosis. If somebody has progressive cyclic pelvic pain, it is almost always endometriosis. You can rule out other conditions. It's a chronic disease that progresses over time. Some of the other common etiologies that are in our differential diagnosis are acute issues that are not occurring over a number of years, but somebody who has many months or years of progressive cyclic pelvic pain, focus on endometriosis. Rule out other potential confounders or other causes of pelvic pain, but for the most part, this will be endometriosis. Listen to them, get them on treatment, and put them back on that normal life trajectory to maximize their productivity in the long run.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Taylor. This has been really informative. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks to all of our listeners for joining us. Hopefully, you're able to tune into the other podcasts in this series. There are a total of three, as well as some of the many other types of CME programs that MedLearning Group offers. In the next podcast, we'll take a look at therapeutic strategies for patients with endometriosis. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I'd like to give a special thank you to Pfizer and Myovan Sciences, Inc., who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity. Thanks for joining us.